Welcome. This is titled Sunset. Father, thank you for this time that might anoint my tongue to be the pen of a ready writer. Holy Spirit, teach through me. Thank you for your instruction and your word, that we have ears to hear, anointed ears to hear, anointed eyes to see and perceive, hearts to have understanding, that we might repent and turn and be healed in Jesus' name. Okay, thank you for joining me. This is called Sunset. I'm going to start the scripture with 2 Timothy. This chapter 3, this know also, in the last days perilous times shall come. I think we all agree perilous times are upon us. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Okay, they don't care about you, they're doing selfies. Covetous. Okay, they're lusting after what belongs to you. Boasters, they think there's something really special. Proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. I always like that one. I'm thinking, really? Fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Okay, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. This is a key thing here that we're going to be dealing with. They put their God is pleasure. It's not the God of the Holy Scriptures. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and ever able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then it talks about Jeans and Chambers withstood Moses. So do these also resist the truth? Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest to all men, as theirs was also. These were occult level practitioners. And this unveiling is happening now over those who practice the powers of darkness, and they're being exposed and they resist the truth. But you have fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, persecutions and afflictions. Okay, but which came to me at Antioch, Iconium, at Lystra, with persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord deliver me. I keep reminding myself, the persecutions, the afflictions of the righteous are many, but God delivers us out of them all. God is our deliverer. He's coming the second time as the deliverer. He's coming for deliverance. We already have his work of salvation. We just need to receive it, that Jesus paid the penalty of our sins if we'll acknowledge this and receive this great gift to us and repent, okay, and be baptized. So that's what you need to do if you haven't done it. Now, I'm going to dovetail a little more into staying the course at sunset, the sunset eve of this age. And we're transitioning the age to come. Let's look at Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18. The word of the Lord came to me again, saying, what mean you that you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge? So God is asking this, the prophet Ezekiel, why do they say this proverb? What does this mean? What does this proverb mean? As I live, verse 3 says the Lord, you shall not have occasion anymore to use this proverb in Israel. Let's continue in verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sins, it shall die. Here the Lord begins to say, I'm going to explain to you how it works, that this proverb is not going to be used anymore because it is wrong. It is the wrong counsel of how the Lord operates. And here the Lord claims that the souls, all souls are his. Soul of the Father and the soul of the sons of the Father are his. So the soul that sins, whatever soul, that individual, okay, he's individuating this, it shall die. But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, verse 6, and has not eaten upon the mountains, which was, that was idolatry, idol worship is implied in that, neither has lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel. Israel had a lot of idolatry in its house. They were not faithful and loyal to the Father Creator. Neither has defiled his neighbor's wife, neither has come near to a menstruous woman, verse 7, and has not oppressed any. Okay, oppressing people is grievous in the Lord's eyes. But has restored to the debtor his pledge, has spoiled none by violence, has given his bread to the hungry, and has covered the naked with a garment. He has not given forth upon usury, neither has he taken any increase that has withdrawn his hand from iniquity. In other words, he hasn't taken things because of the sin of his own heart. Okay, it's out of order, it's wrong. And has executed true judgment between man and man. Verse 9, has walked in my statutes and has kept my judgments to deal truly. He is just. He shall surely live, says the Lord God. And these particular scriptures, starting at verse 5 through verse 9, describes the actions, the fruit of a just and righteous man in the eyes of the Lord God Almighty. Let's start again at 10. Verse 10. Now we're going to hear the description of the unjust and the wicked. If he, a father, has a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that does like the like to any one of these things, verse 11, and that does not any of those duties, okay, this description above are duties, they're obligations, but even has eaten upon the mountains and has defiled his neighbor's wife, has oppressed the poor and needy, has spoiled by violence, has not restored the pledge and has lifted up his eyes to the idols, has committed abomination, verse 13, has given forth upon usury and has taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. Okay, those who have oppressed the poor and needy, okay, and has spoiled by violence, these are key things. Has given forth upon usury and has taken the increase, shall he then live? Okay, you can't take the increase of what belongs to another person through their work and their labor. He shall not live. He has done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. Now, this is regarding anybody's work or labor, taking their increase. Taking somebody's ministry and jumping over them in order to further your ambitions for ministry. A lot of this goes on in the body of Christ. We're talking in Israel here. God sees this. 14. So this is the description of the wicked son and the righteous man. Verse 14. Now lo, if he fathers a son that sees all his father's sins, which he has done, and he considers it, and does not such the like. 15, he has not eaten upon the mountains, neither has he lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel. Has not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither has he pressed any, has not withheld the pledge, neither has spoiled by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry, and has covered the naked with a garment. Verse 16, that has taken off his hand from the poor, that has not received usury nor increase, has executed my judgments, has walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. Three times God's reiterating, this is what righteous man is, this is what a wicked man is, this is what a righteous son is. They do the right thing. They do the right thing. As for his father, verse 18, because he cruelly oppressed and spoiled his brother by violence and did that which is not good among his people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. Yet you say, why does not the son bear the iniquity of the father? When the son has done that which is lawful and right and has kept all my statutes and has done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sins shall die. God is marking this out. This is sin. He's individuating this. Each person is responsible for their actions. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. Neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. 21. But, and here's the key about this passage. If the wicked will turn from all his sins that he has committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that has committed, they shall not be mentioned to him. In his righteousness that he has done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? Return means to repent, to understand in his heart, to return, to turn away from his sin, and to be healed, and to live, not to die. Verse 24, but when the righteous turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All his righteousness that he has done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he has trespassed, and in his sin that he has sinned, in them he shall die. So God's saying here very clearly, I'm not going to remember any of your righteousness if you turn back to sin and continue to sin and put your hand to sin. Yet, verse 25, you say the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and dies in them, for his iniquity that he has done, shall he die? Again, when the wicked man turns away from his wickedness that he has committed and does that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Because he considers and turns away from all his transgressions that he has committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. So we need to repent. We need to search ourselves daily and come before the Lord and measure our walk with the word of God, the rod of God, the standard, the plumb line, and the level, according to Yeshua, the cornerstone, who is head over the house of Israel. Yet, says the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, not my ways equal. Are not your ways unequal? Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, and whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dies, says the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live you. Live. Don't die. Turn away from sin. Repent. Ask Jesus, who took your place of death by his blood, by shedding his blood, blood for blood. He took your place, but you have to appropriate it in your life. If you turn from your sin, you have to apply the blood of Jesus. You have to. And those of us who are in these last days, the perilous times of testing and laying hold and trying to walk the holy walk when all these things are coming against us, when there's violence in the land and theft and murder, all these things are happening and we're trying to resist evil. And we haven't yet resisted. Some of us resisted the shedding of blood. In Revelation 22:11, it says that he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So even as the sunset time of this age and the transition to the coming of the Lord and the eternal kingdom, let us be found faithful and continue in the righteousness of God. Be very blessed. Goodbye.